this topic I have on my heart today is something I've had the opportunity to meditate on for a little while. And as you know, we've been doing a series called All in the Family, as Pastor Werner mentioned. And we've heard some great talks already, great messages. We've heard about mothers and women. We've heard about seniors. You're not done yet. That was an encouraging message. We've heard about parents. Heidi brought a great message about parenting. And Chad brought a great message last week about singles. And so it's been encouraging to find what our place is at the table. The place we're in life right now, what our place is. Now, today, I have the privilege of talking to you about marriage. And I want to give it a subtitle. I'm going to call it Racing to the Back of the Line. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what that means, although you may be able to ascertain as I talk a little bit about what it means in the context of marriage to race to the back of the line. But I have had the opportunity to kind of immerse myself for a little while in the last few weeks in the whole topic of marriage. In fact, I counted the books I have in my library on marriage, and I counted almost 30 books on marriage. And that either says that I've had a really rough marriage and I've had to really work on it, which is not the case. My wife is right over here. I've had a great marriage. Or maybe it means that I've personally had to work on a lot of stuff. Or maybe it's just that I really care about this topic. And I think that is the truth. I really believe in marriage. Now, before I say anything more, I don't very often do this, but some of the things I've been gleaning, some of the books I've been gleaning from, I want to show you some of the things. And this is just a very, very small little sample. But here's a couple of books that I would recommend. I have both the written and the audio of this book, The Meaning of Marriage. And I found that I really enjoy audiobooks. I enjoy reading, and I guess I doubly enjoy reading and listening at the same time. And Timothy Keller has written a great book on the meaning of marriage. I would recommend that. The second one is by Gary Thomas, called Sacred Marriage. He also wrote one called A Lifelong Love, which is an amazing book. He's written several other books, and I believe almost all of them are about marriage, the marriage relationship. I would recommend anything he writes. I'd recommend the book by Timothy Keller. Also, some podcasts. I don't know if you're a podcaster. If you're not, I would encourage you to be a podcaster. If you're like to walk or run or bike, it's a perfect way. I just get the earbuds in and get my iPod and download some of the latest podcasts, and I find I have been so enriched just listening to these podcasts. For example, North Point Community Church, which is Pastor Andy Stanley, did a series on his podcast. It's also on YouTube in the video version. What Happy Couples Know. I believe it was around October of last year. That's excellent material. The Love and Respect podcast by Emerson Egerichs. That is excellent. I've also enjoyed the Focus on the Family Marriage podcast. They interview a variety of leaders like Dr. Smalley, Gary Thomas that we talked about, Dr. Chapman. Just really, really good content. You know, there is actually not an excuse for me or for you to stop learning. We have never lived in a day where learning is so readily accessible. There's so many great ways to learn, so many good things to read, so many great things to listen to. So I would encourage you to engage some of these things. So the question today is, what is the place at the table for married couples? Now, I want to make a qualifying statement, and I'm going to try. I'm not going to promise I'll succeed at this, I'm going to make one qualifying statement, then I'm not going to make any other qualifying statements for the rest of the message. A qualifying statement is when you modify a statement by restating it and including the specific conditions that make the meaning either less strong or less general. So you know how we qualify statements. We'll say something pretty strong, and then we try to qualify it, say, but I know also, I don't want to do that today, but I will make one qualifying statement. And I believe this is important in regard to talking about marriage, and it is this. Today, I want to elevate marriage. I'm going to take this biblical concept of marriage, and I'm going to elevate it. I want to place high value on marriage. I know that there are people here today that either A, you have lived through the trauma of a failed marriage. I just want you to know that in elevating marriage, we are not trying to isolate or marginalize you or disregard your experience. We know that's a very traumatic experience. You may be going through right now, and you may be in the middle of a very difficult marriage. This is not intended to make you feel uncomfortable, or not that it necessarily would. I want you to know that there is a place for everybody in the family of God, of course. And that includes, and we must do this, well. We must make sure that we keep our doors wide open and our hearts wide open towards people who have experienced a marriage that has crumbled, a marriage that has fallen apart. We must never make people feel isolated or less than in some way by our attitude, by our lack of attention, whatever it might be. It's very, very important that we embrace. And also people who are going through a difficult marriage. Sometimes when people, are going through a difficult marriage, they feel like, you know what, I can't talk to anybody. I can't talk to any of the pastors or staff. I can't talk to the elders. I can't talk to my friends at church, you know. Sometimes, not always, people feel like that. And we must eradicate that because there's room at the table for us to talk about the struggles in life, the difficulties in life. And that includes marriage. And I think that sometimes what people need to hear, we say, well, you know, there needs to be correction made and admonition, and we need to tell them this is what needs to be done. I get that. I'm probably going to give some guidance or try to give some guidance and instruction today. But you know what people need a lot when they're going through times like that is to hear the words that you're not defective. They need grace. They need to experience support and love and kindness. Because if you've ever gone through that or you're in the midst of experiencing something like that, I think you would be the first one to jump to your feet and say, hey, it's hard. It is one of the most difficult things I've ever had to experience in my life. And so the church needs to be a place of grace and a place of support and kindness for people who are reaching out for some help. Would you say amen to that? I'm going to turn my mic off because I've got a cough really bad, okay? Just a second. So what is the place at the table for people who are married? As I said, I'm going to elevate marriage. I want to put it in a prominent and in a very important place. I want to put great value on it. The first thing I would say is that vibrant marriages bring strength to the Christian community, to the church, and to the community. I believe that with all my heart. And that may be very, kind of a given. You may say, well, that's no big surprise. But I just want to reiterate that, how important that is. To see couples worshiping together, praying together, serving together. We believe that we do not compartmentalize our marriages. Say, you know, that's my married life. That's kind of over in this compartment. And this is my Christian or my serving life. This is the way I serve. And the two worlds don't really interact that much. I mean, that's not true. we serve and we bless out of the strength of our marriage. I know that people may say, well, I do it in spite of my marriage. I understand that. There you go. See, I'm qualifying a statement again. But I will say this, that we serve out of the strength of our marriage. We bless out of the strength of our marriage. So marriages, vibrant, healthy, good marriages, bring strength and stability in a very wonderful way. Number two, healthy marriages model Christian character. Now, I don't want you to say amen too loud, and I don't want anybody to have sore ribs today if you happen to be sitting beside your spouse, but I will say this, that what better place to learn and develop the Christian graces than right smack dab in the middle of your marriage. That's God's incubator. That's God's forum. That's God says that I've designed marriage not just to make you happy. And who doesn't want to have happiness or to say that my spouse, my marriage brings me great happiness? Of course, wonderful, yes. But it's not just to make us happy, it is to make us holy. And so in marriage is where we learn forgiveness the best. In marriage is where we learn patience the most. In marriage we learn kindness. It's developed within our marriage. And so it models Christian character. And then thirdly, marriage points us to the relationship between Christ and the church. Marriage is a prophetic sign of God's love for the church and the world. Is it fair to say that marriage in our present culture has taken a few blows, has taken a few hits? It's come under tremendous pressure. It has been put to the test like in no other time, perhaps in man's history. I believe that it is good to celebrate, to promote, to elevate good, healthy, vibrant marriage in the church. We stand with it. We support it. We put it in a place of honor and respect. We know the good things that it does. So we welcome at our table people who are married because they bring a perspective that is valuable. They bring a strength. That vibrant marriage brings a strength that is irreplaceable. And so marriage and married have a place at the table for sure. The reading that I did and digging in over the last few weeks about marriage, I've come up with two things that I want to say. Just two things about marriage. And there were so many things, like what you could go on and on and on. There's so much that you would want to say or could say or maybe even should say about marriage. But I've got two things that I'm going to leave with you, and I hope that you'll grab them and get them down in your heart. And when you walk out of here today, you say, by the grace of God, help us to practice this. Let's grab this today and put it right in the middle of our relationship. The first thing that I want to bring to you is this. A vibrant marriage requires intentional effort from both spouses. Intentional effort. I was going to say marriage is hard work. But maybe that sounds too defeatist. Maybe that sounds too negative. But yet, is it not true that there's something that rings true about that statement, that marriage is hard work? That's not placing marriage in a place of drudgery or just pure old duty or obligation. It's just, you know, it's hard work. I don't want our minds to go there because that's obviously absolutely not what I'm trying to say. But what I am trying to say is that you must be intentional if you want to build your relationship. Why does that sound counterintuitive at times? It's because the initial phases of love and romance did not seem to take a lot of hard work. Wouldn't you agree? It just came so easy. I mean, you know, when you were in those courting days, those dating days, and you just were swept off of your feet, which I trust that happened for you. I think probably for a lot of people, your mind is going back now. You know, let's go back for some of you way back when. Do you remember those feelings? Is there anything wrong with what happened to you? Of course not. It's beautiful. This lady caught your eye, and you were swept off of your feet. You would do anything. It was no problem. I'm telling you, I literally remember driving through blinding blizzards to get to my wife for our date night. It was, you know, I would put my life on the line just to say I've got a few hours to spend with Brenda Jakes, as she was known then. It was not hard. My goodness, if it was hard in those stages, then that would be a pretty good indication this is not really meant to be. It was just easy. It flowed so easily. It was nothing like the guy who wrote the letter, a love letter to his girlfriend and said, I would cross the widest river, I would walk the longest valley, I would climb the highest mountain just to spend time with you. And P.S., I'll be over Thursday if it doesn't rain. You never say that in those initial stages of love. And so that's why when I get up here and I say, hey, folks, you know, marriage is hard work, and you have to have intentional effort if you want to have a vibrant marriage. Sometimes that sounds a little confusing because we think, well, if it was like the old days, you wouldn't be saying that. No, listen, what you experienced then is good, and I'm not saying that it should never, ever again be a part of your life. Obviously, we want romance, we want excitement, we want feeling, we want spontaneity, we still want to be attracted. I'm not debunking all of that. Of course, that's very important, but is it not fair to say that what started you on this path is not necessarily going to be able to be sustained every minute of every day? Romance can fade. If you build your marriage on physical attraction alone, I don't know if you've noticed anything, but we change over the years. You know, I'm not as handsome as I used to be. I've got wrinkles. I'm not going to tell you anything else I've got, but that's as far as I'm going to go. But I've got problems. You know what? They tell me that back here I've lost some hair. I never know. I never see it. As far as I know, I still got a full head of hair. If you base it on physical attractiveness, you know what? Hey, there's nothing wrong with being attracted to your spouse. And you know what? And to still be attracted is a beautiful thing and should be there. But we know that the physical part, the sexual chemistry, that fades with time. You know, if you're young and you're just about to get married, I'm sorry to burst your balloon. If you just say, I can't wait to get married because you know, like all, yeah, I'm just really caught up in this. Listen, I'm sorry. These things cannot necessarily be sustained in that particular way, but that doesn't mean that the beauty of a relationship is lost. In fact, it's better 40 years later, 40 years this October, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. I'm not feeling cheated. I'm not feeling less than, like, oh my goodness, where did it all go? Right out the window. No way. I'm excited and happy to be married. But it takes intentionality. I'm looking around. I didn't even put this on the screen because I was afraid you might be offended by this, because this may sound a little bit crude, a little bit crass. I'm sorry. You can get mad at me if you want. And if anyone here under 18, maybe you better plug your ears. I don't know. But, you know, the three stages of marriage, you've heard what the three stages of marriage are. It's tri-weekly, tri-weekly, tri-weekly. Now, I've got to spell that for you to get it, though. The first one, tri-weekly, is T-R-I-W-E-E-K-L-Y. The second one is T-R-Y-W-E-E-K-L-Y. And the third one is T-R-Y-W-E-A-K-L-Y. Because, listen, things things, you can't sustain some of the things that swept you off your feet. But that does not mean that marriage is not beautiful. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that you must put something into it. You fell in love with an ideal. You fell in love with a concept, perhaps. But you know what? True love is this. I love this statement. True love. To be loved and not known is shallow and fleeting. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be known and loved is our greatest joy. So marriage is about that kind of love. Whether physical beauty fades, feelings of infatuation, you know what the definition of infatuation is? Intense and short-lived. That's definitely going to fade. Sexual chemistry, not to say that in your 50s, 60s, 70s, God bless you, maybe even in your 80s, I don't know, that you can't be intimate and enjoy sex in your marriage. Of course, it just changes. It doesn't mean it's less than, it can change. But here's the thing, the best kind of love is the love that says, I am going to love you, I am going to bless you, I am going to be there. I don't care if you've got two chicken necks, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I don't care if you lose every hair on your head. It doesn't matter, because I'm in it for the long run. And our love is growing. Our love is beautiful. Our love is wonderful because I'm putting the effort in to love this person. You must put effort into a vibrant marriage. It means being self-sacrificing. It means being kind. It means listening well. It means making your spouse the first person that you want to share life with. In church one day, there was a young couple. She was sitting here. Her husband was sitting next to her, and his buddy was sitting next to him. And the pastor was speaking. He was making some jokes, and every time the pastor made a joke, the husband, who was sitting in between his buddy and his wife, he would kind of laugh and people would kind of look at one another. He'd always look at his buddy. Ah, is that guy's good? And his wife would look at him, but he was looking at his buddy. Service went on. Then there was another serious kind of comment, and he, you know, nodded his head and again looked at his buddy. You know, say, yeah. His wife looked at her husband, but he was looking at his buddy. Until eventually, you know what the wife did? She just kind of gave up wanting to interact with her husband because he was more interested in interacting with his buddy. And I'm not against having friends, obviously. Go-to person in your life is your wife or your husband. I've got some good news. Who am I going to tell first? Well, duh. Who do you think it should be? This is the person you share life with. It's the first person on your list. It's the first person you want to know this good news. So listening well, encouraging, edifying. Can I say, does that always come just naturally? If you've got that just flowing just naturally without any effort, I'd like to know what your secret is. But I think that for us humans, the rest of us humans here, that this is something that takes intentionality. It doesn't mean it is less sincere because you have to be intentional about it. It means that you value something, so you're willing to put in the time. Does love always have to have a feeling in order for it to be acted upon? Or can love just be acting, even when sometimes you say, you know what, if I went by my feelings right now, how many things would be destroyed if we only went by our feelings? But how many times has something had a resurgence because we did what was right? And what the right thing to do is to love your spouse with intention. And to say, I'm going to love, I'm going to bless this person. And you know, if we do that, and I'm going to say something more about that in the next point, you'll find that God will be on your side and he's going to be doing some amazing things. Marriage is like a rock tumbler. You know, someone said that someone said that it's like a bridge that has some cracks in it, and you don't really see the cracks until you drive a 12-ton Mack truck on it. And he said, marriage is like driving a 12-ton Mack truck right into the center of your heart. I don't know if I like that analogy or not, but I'll tell you what marriage does. It shows us our weaknesses, but it also gives us a context for grace. It's like a rock tumbler. We go into the tumbler, you know, kind of the raw material that's not really seen all that it can be. But through the process of time, through some grit, the right amount of water, the right amount of silicone, the right amount of agitation, guess what happens on the other end? We come out with something that has been perfected in our life, something that is beautiful. If you will let it, marriage will develop something beautiful in your life. Sometimes it may seem messy. Sometimes it may seem laborious. But if you're willing to engage the process, both of you together, and say, God, you're going to work through this. It's not about being thrown into life and bouncing off of one another. We mix into the tumbler of marriage a lot of grace, a lot of forgiveness, a lot of kindness, a lot of listening, a lot of vulnerability, a lot of honesty. And God takes all that in the tumbler of marriage, and he begins to wear off some of the rough, gruff, crusty edge that's in our life until something beautiful begins to shine through. I love this quote. If we don't get excited about the person our spouse has already grown into and will become, we aren't tapping into the real power of marriage. Marriage has the ability to do that, but it takes intention. That means when we walk out of here today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we are not waiting for the feeling to motivate us. We are going to act upon what is right, and we're going to do what is right. We're going to love our spouse. And guess what begins to happen? You love something, and the joy returns. You sacrifice yourself, and the happiness and the peace and the contentment begins to be restored. This is something that God does in us, and he allows us to begin to be absolutely ravished by the beauty that is in this person. We are helping them to become the very best person that they could possibly be, and it's happening in the context of marriage. I have to watch the time, but I didn't know if I wanted to use this analogy because it's really foreign to me. It makes me uncomfortable, okay? But I'm going to give you this illustration anyway. I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable. It's just I'd rather use like a hockey illustration or a football illustration, but I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. Marriage is like the ballet. Yeah, I told my wife I should wear a tutu for this illustration, but I decided I wouldn't. Trust me, I'm not making light of the ballet. It's a beautiful art form. I mean that sincerely. And the athleticism and the beauty, you know, both male and female. And I know there are male ballet dancers as well. It's a very specific art, very beautiful. I'm not making light of it. I know I said some of my discomfort, but you just cut me that one if you will. But here's the thing. The wife is the ballerina. And the ballet is always about the ballerina. Right? And when the spotlight comes up at the end of the ballet, you know, it would just seem so weird, would it not, to have the ballerina back here in the shadows and the male dancer like, hey, guys, it's all about me. Look at me. No. It's his job to take the ballerina and to lift her to heights that she could not attain on her own. Now, I'm not going to qualify. Wayne, don't qualify. It's his job to put her in the spotlight. And he throws her in the air and she does these amazing twists and he adds to her athleticism. He adds to her amazing creativity. And when it's all said and done and the spotlight comes on at the grand finale, it's on the ballerina. What a great analogy for husbands to say, you know, Wayne, I thought, and I'm going to get more into this in my next point, which I got to move to real fast. But here's the thing. If you will adopt that attitude, you're going to be a happy man. To elevate your wife to a place of God's desired intention for her. You know, what kind of, I'll just say it. What kind of a horrible, terrible, sick kind of attitude would it be for a person to say, that's really hard for me because, you know, I want to be in that spotlight. That's just wrong. And marriage is the perfect place to practice that beautiful, godly quality. Which leads me to my next point. A vibrant marriage puts each other first. A vibrant marriage puts each other first. When we come into marriage, sometimes it's this. I wonder how many got into marriage saying, I got into marriage, I married this person because my sole desire was to make this person happy every minute of their life. Or do a lot of people say, I wanted to get married because I needed someone to complete me. Someone who would make me happy. Oh, you make me so happy. Healthy marriages are predicated upon putting the other first. I want you to take a look at this video clip, if you would, right now.
We're brought here today by the love that Sarah and Davis have for each other.
I can't believe I get to marry him. We're perfectly compatible in every way.
Yeah, she just gets me, man.
Someone to talk to all night long.
Someone to talk to all night long.
Early morning jogs.
Sleeping in late.
We'll spend the holidays with my parents.
We'll spend the holidays with my parents.
We'll have one well-behaved daughter.
We'll have four or five little dudes running around.
He'll help me pay off my debt.
I should probably tell her about all my debt. Is that important? We'll share a bank account.
Obviously, we're gonna share a Facebook account.
Do I need to friend my in-laws?
Someone to do my laundry.
Someone to do my laundry.
Double income.
Stay-at-home dad.
Meal planning, of course.
Take out.
The city.
The burbs.
Mission trip.
Ski trip.
Blue.
Red.
Cat.
Dog.
Fries.
Rings.
Potato.
Potato.
Minivan.
Motorcycle.
Two words. Finished basement.
Two words. Man cave.
He's so smart.
Do you think that birds wish that they had hands?
We're going to be so happy.
We'll be so happy. I'm going to crush it at being a husband.
Hey, is this not the truth? That sometimes we come into marriage with these preconceived, this great big box of hopes, dreams, and desires, and we say, this person, it's going to be their job. Isn't it going to be great to fulfill my every wish? And we don't need to say much more about that other than to say it is a recipe for disaster. The way to avoid the disappointment is to say, you know what? I'm not going to put these impossible expectations on you. It's impossible that this person could meet all of these demands. You know, my hopes, dreams, and desires feel like a heavy weight of expectation that I've placed on you because it's based on selfishness, and selfishness always sabotages a good relationship, especially in marriage. But instead, we come in to the marriage and we say this, the ultimate weapon against selfishness is sacrifice. And a happy marriage is often predicated on two people trying to outserve the other. Trying to outserve the other. That's why I say marriage is a race to the back of the line. If we are determined to say, you know what, I want to put my spouse first. I'm just going to bless her. I'm going to put her first. I'm going to honor her. And she is saying, you know what, I'm going to equally try to put you first, and I'm going to honor you and serve and bless you in any way that I can. When you have a submission competition, you are setting yourself up for something that's going to be very enriching and bring and release great blessing in your life. The scripture says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Notice what it says. This is the chapter that talks about marriage. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. If this is in Ephesians 5, it leads into a talk. Paul talks about marriage. He talks about Christ giving himself for the church. That sets us up for something that is powerful, that is healthy, that is good. And that is put your spouse first. It is not a tug of war. It is not debt and debtor. Well, I did this for you. Now you owe this to me. Well, yeah, but I did that for you the other day. And now, really, you owe this to me. Can I say that that's something that we need to put to death right away? Because it's not placing someone under obligation saying, you are indebted to me because of what I've done for you. Christ did for us what we did not deserve. And that is the model and the basis for marriage. I look at all of the married couples here today. And I want to say that you are not alone. If you say, you know, sometimes, Wayne, I believe and I embrace this truth about marriage, but sometimes it is not always easy. Can I tell you something? You're not alone. It's a journey. It's a process. You're not defective. But if you will engage this process, even though it feels like a rock tumbler sometimes, you'll put your spouse first. You'll decide to serve them above all. You'll be intentional about putting, you know, the effort into making it right. God will bless your marriage and grow your marriage. To conclude today, I'd like for the married couples all to come. And if you're married and your spouse is not able to be here today or is not here with you today, I want you to come too. You're married. Anyone who's married, I want us to finish by standing down here around the front. I'm going to ask my wife to come up and join me down here as well. Could we do that together? Why don't we stand? And I want the married couples, and when you come on in close. Try to spread out across the front. Make as much room as you can for everybody. Come on down. We're going to conclude this way. Come on right in close so we can make room for everybody. This is beautiful. Come on in close. Try to get in out of the aisles if you can. That's great. That's beautiful. Take a deep breath right now. Do you believe that God wants to bless your marriage? What is it that we can receive today in our heart? What kind of commitment can we make? Something that we can embrace that will bring blessing into our marriage. My goodness, I look across here right now, and today it's about married couples. Can I say this sincerely? I honor each one of you. This doesn't mean that we're elevated to a place above anybody else, you know, singles or, you know, it's not about that. But I look at the married couples here today, and I give honor to you and blessing to you. We know some of the challenges that you face, but God is on your side. God is on your side. I'm going to come down beside my wife. I know my wife is not going to like this. She won't like it, but I'm going to ask her to come up here. She said, please don't make me come up. But see, I'm not being an obedient husband, so I want her to come over here, and we're going to pray. Take your spouse by the hand or put your arm around them or something. And I know that some are here without your spouse. I understand that. You can still pray for them. Sincerely, I don't know what God's speaking to your heart right now, but would you just bow your head with me, and would you just pray with me and pray for one another? And I mean that, to pray for one another. And I'm going to do a general prayer, and then I'm going to turn my mic off, and I'm going to pray for my wife, and then we're free to be dismissed, okay? But let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe this is a very wonderful moment right now where we are standing side by side with our spouses. We're standing with married couples in our church. And God, there's so many things we could say, think about, we could pray and ask for, but God, I guess just in very simple terms, we just say, Lord, would you help us? Lord, would you help us to grow the kind of marriage that honors Christ, that is a prophetic word about the love between Christ and the church. Lord, we pray for your guidance. We pray for your grace. We pray for your direction in our lives as we build our marriages. And right now, Lord, I don't know what you're speaking to our hearts individually, but God, I believe that a very strong word of hope and encouragement can happen here right now. I believe that there can be some decisions made, someone saying, I'm in. I am going to put this person first. I'm going to bring out the best in them to the best of my ability. I'm going to honor, love, respect, and bless them. God, I believe that you would smile on that determination today. Help us, we pray. Holy Spirit, come right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.